Mr. A. H. Savage Landor, in Across Unknown South America, Volume 2, p. 425, tells a story that was told to him by the people of Puerto Principe, Peru, in January 1912 that, some years before, a ship had been seen in the sky, passing over the town, not far above the treetops. According to his interpretations, it was a square globe, flying a flag of stars and stripes. Mr. Savage Landor thinks that the object might have been the airship, which, upon October 17, 1910, Wellman abandoned about 400 miles east of Hatteras. In newspaper accounts of this unsuccessful attempt to cross the Atlantic, it is said that, when abandoned, this airship was leaking gas rapidly. If a vessel from somewhere else, flying the stars and stripes, is pretty hard to think of, except by thinking that there are Americans everywhere, also the square globe is not easy, at least for the more conventional of us. Probably these details are faults of interpretation. Whatever this thing in the sky may have been, if we will think that it may have been, it returned at night, and this time it showed lights. In the New York newspapers, September 1880, are allusions to an unknown object that had been seen traveling in the sky, in several places, especially in St. Louis and Louisville. I have not been able to get a St. Louis newspaper of this time, but I found accounts in the Louisville Courier Journal, July 29, August 6, 1880. Unless an inventor of this earth was more self-effacing than biographies of inventors indicate, no inhabitant of this earth succeeded in making a dirigible aerial contrivance, in the year 1880, then keeping quiet about it. The story is that, between 6 and 7 o'clock, evening of July 28, people in Louisville saw in the sky an object like a man, surrounded by machinery, which he seemed to be working with his hands and feet. The object moved in various directions, ascending and descending, seemingly under control. When darkness came, it disappeared. Then came dispatches, telling of something that had been seen in the sky, at Madisonville, KY. It was something with a ball at each end. It sometimes appeared in a circular form, and then changed to an oval. It passed out of sight, moving south. These are stories of at least harmless things that were, or were not, seen over lands of this earth. It may be that if beings from somewhere else would seize inhabitants of this earth, wantonly, or out of curiosity, or as a matter of scientific research, the preference would be for an operation at sea, remote from observations by other humans of this earth. If such beings exist, they may in some respects be very wise, but supposing secrecy to be desirable, they must have neglected psychology in their studies, or unconcernedly they'd drop right into Central Park, New York, and pick up all the specimens they wanted, and leave it to the wise men of our tribes to explain that there had been a whirlwind, and that the Weather Bureau, with its usual efficiency, had published warnings of it. Now and then admirers of my good works write to me, and try to convert me into believing things that I say. He would have to be an eloquent admirer, who could persuade me into thinking that our present expression is not at least a little fanciful, but just the same I have labored to support it. I labor, like workers in a beehive, to support a lot of vagabond notions. But how am I to know? How am I to know but that sometime a queen idea may soar to the sky, and from a nuptial flight of data, come back fertile from one of these drones? In the matter of the disappearance of the Danish training ship Kobenhavn, which, upon December 14, 1928, sailed, with 50 cadets and sailors aboard, from Montevideo, I note that another training ship, the Atlanta, British, set sail, early in the year 1880, with 250 cadets and sailors aboard, from Bermuda, and was not heard of again. Upon October 3, 1902, the German bark, Freya, cleared from Manzanillo for Punta Arenas, on the west coast of Mexico. I take from Nature, April 25, 1907. Upon the 20th of October, the ship was found at sea, partly dismasted, lying on her side, nobody aboard. The anchor was still hanging free at her bow, indicating that calamity had occurred soon after the ship had left port. The date on a calendar, on a wall of the captain's cabin, was October 4th. Weather reports showed that there had been only light winds in this region. But upon the 5th, there had been an earthquake in Mexico. Several weeks after the disappearance of the crew of the Freya, another strange sea occurrence was reported. Zoologist, 4-738 that, according to the log of the steamship Fort Salisbury, the second officer, Mr. A. H. Raymer, had, October 28, 1902, in lat. 5 degrees, 31 S, and long 4 degrees, 42 W, been called, at 3:05 a.m., by the lookout, who reported that there was a huge, dark object, bearing lights in the sea ahead. Two lights were seen. The steamship passed a slowly sinking bulk, of an estimated length of 500 or 600 feet. Mechanism of some kind fins, the observers thought was making a commotion in the water. A scaled back was slowly submerging. One thinks that seeing for such details as a scaled back could not have been very good, at 3 o'clock in the morning. So doubly damned is this datum that the attempt to explain it was in terms of the accursed sea serpent. Phosphorescence of the water is mentioned several times, but that seems to have nothing to do with two definite lights, like those of a vessel. The captain of the Fort Salisbury was interviewed. I can only say that he, Mr. Raymer, is very earnest on the subject, and has, together with the lookout and helmsman, seen something in the water, of a huge nature, as specified. One thinks that this object may have been a large, terrestrial vessel that had been abandoned, and was sinking. I have looked over Lloyd's List, for the period, finding no record, by which to explain. 13. As to data that we shall now take up, I say to myself, you are a benign ghoul, digging up dead, old legends and superstitions, trying to breathe life into them. Well, then, why have you neglected Santa Claus? But I am particular in the matter of data, or alleged data. And I have come upon no record, or alleged record, of mysterious footprints in snow, on roofs of houses, leading to chimneys, Christmas Eves? There is a great deal, in the most acceptable of the science of today, that represents a rehabilitation of supposed legends, superstitions, and folklore. Recall Voltaire's incredulity as to fossils, which according to him only a peasant would believe in. And note that his antagonism to fossils was probably because they had been taken over by theologians, in their way of explaining. Here was one of the keenest of minds, but it could not accept data, because it rejected explanations of the data. And so one thinks of, say, the transmutation of metals, which is now rehabilitated. And so on. There are some backward ones, today, who do not believe in witches, but every married man knows better. In the month of May, 1810, something appeared at Ennerdale, near the border of England and Scotland, and killed sheep, not devouring them, sometimes 7 or 8 of them in a night, but biting into the jugular vein and sucking the blood. That's the story. The only mammal that I know of that does something like this is the vampire bat. It has to be accepted that stories of the vampire bat are not myths. Something was ravaging near Ennerdale, and the losses by sheep farmers were so serious that the whole region was aroused. It became a religious duty to hunt this marauder. Once, when hunters rode past a church, out rushed the whole congregation to join them, the vicar throwing off his surplice, on his way to a horse. Milking, cutting of hay, feeding of stock were neglected. For more details, see Chambers Journal, 81-470. Upon the 12th of September, someone saw a dog in a cornfield, and shot it. It is said that this dog was the marauder, and that with its death the killing of sheep stopped. For about 4 months, in the year 1874, beginning upon January 8th, a killer was abroad, in Ireland. In land and water, March 7, 1874, a correspondent writes that he had heard of depredations by a wolf, in Ireland, where the last native wolf had been killed in the year 1712. According to him, a killer was running wild, in Cavan, slaying as many as 30 sheep in one night. There is another account, in Land and Water, March 28. Here, a correspondent writes that, in Cavan, sheep had been killed in a way that led to the belief that the marauder was not a dog. This correspondent knew of 42 instances, in three townlands, in which sheep had been similarly killed, throats cut and blood sucked, but no flesh eaten. The footprints were like a dog's, but were long and narrow, and showed traces of strong claws. Then, in the issue of April 11, of Land and Water, came the news that we have been expecting. The killer had been shot. It had been shot by Archdeacon Magennis at Lismoreville, and was only a large dog. This announcement ends the subject, in Land and Water. Almost anybody, anyway in the past, before suspiciousness against conventions had the development that it has today, reading these accounts down to the final one, would say why, of course. It's the way these stories always end up. Nothing to them. But it is just the way these stories always end up that has kept me busy. Because of our experience with pseudo-endings of mysteries, or the mysterious shearing and bobbing and clipping of mysteries, I went more into the story that was said to be no longer mysterious. The large dog that was shot by the Archdeacon was sacrificed not in vain, if its story shut up the minds of readers of Land and Water, and if it be desirable somewhere to shut up minds upon this earth. See the Clare Journal, issues up to April 27th, the shooting of the large dog, and no effect upon the depredations another dog shot, and the relief of the farmers, who believed that this one was the killer still another dog shot, and supposed to be the killer the killing of sheep continuing. The depredations were so great as to be described as terrible losses for poor people. It is not definitely said that something was killing sheep vampirishly, but that only a piece was bitten off, and no flesh sufficient for a dog ever eaten.